Pastor Ray Bentley highlights Moses' encouragement to his people who were about to enter the Promised Land.
And Moses is saying to them, I know that when you get there, that you're going to be afraid. I know that when you are there, you're going to be anxious and you won't be able to take a step. And I want to tell you that when the time comes that you are paralyzed in fear, God Himself will pick you up and carry you through that time.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Times of transition can be unnerving. A new job, a new church, a new school, even more health challenges or financial downturns. Today, Pastor Ray helps us learn from the encouragement of Moses. We'll see God is with us during our times of uncertainty, and He'll carry us through the turmoil.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Beginning in verse 1, we read chapter 1, verse 1. We read, these are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness in the plain opposite Suf, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizabah. And they're right on the edge of the Promised Land. They've come all this way. He says in verse 2, this is fascinating, it is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them after he had killed Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and dwelt in Heshbon, and then Og, king of Bashan, who dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. You know, here's what Moses is saying. He goes, we started in this place, just after we were delivered from Egypt, the beginning of the wilderness, and to where we are now, which is on the edge of the Jordan River, ready to enter into the Promised Land, is an 11-day journey. And the next verse says, and on the 40th year, the last month of the 40th year, it was 11 days. So why did an 11-day journey become a 40-year nightmare where they wandered and went in circles again and again and again? They never made any progress. They never went in because of unbelief. So here's the life lesson for us and for a new generation today. It is this, the detour. When you get off the path that God has for you because of unbelief, lack of faith, lack of trust, fear, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, the detour of unbelief always leads us in, what do you think? Circles. So let me ask you, have you ever found yourself at a time or at a season where you're just going around and around and around, you're not going anywhere, you're not making any progress, and the more you go in circles, the more frustrated you become? Well, I have been there. I think every human being has been there. And what's encouraging about the Bible, it doesn't just fluff us up with all these perfect saints who never doubted. No, it tells us warts and all, their fears, their anxieties, their problems, their failures. The whole point of all the stories of the men and women in the Bible is they're no different from us. Therefore, the exhortations God gave them when they finally did go in and possess everything God had for them is also true for us as well. So this is a sad commentary on the failure of unbelief. Okay, let's go on to verse 5. He says in verse 5, now on this side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law. So here's he given them the word of God. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey, go to the mountains of the Amorites and all the neighboring places in the plain and the mountains and the lowland in the south and on the sea coast and to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. So here's what Moses is saying. He goes, so, okay, I know you're the next young guns, next generation. I want to give you the same laws, which are really words of God. And more than words of God, the commandments of God are the boundaries. God gives us boundaries. And Moses is encouraging them to follow the law of God, to listen to the word of God, and to obey the commands of God. And he says, I want you to have a commitment to hear and trust the voice of your father as you step into the waters of the Jordan, because you're gonna literally have a new baptism of thinking. And so that's the next life lesson. Getting baptized into a whole new way of thinking. What Moses is saying to them in the book of Deuteronomy is, he is preparing them to not make the same mistakes as their parents. He's telling these new young kids, this is who you really are. Your parents never, they were this too. They had this identity, they just never wore it. They never walked in it. But you're going to. And I'm going to encourage you, and even prophesy to you that you will. You need to know your identity. You are no longer 400 years of slave. And as they go through the waters, you know, they're in Jordan, they go through the waters of Jordan. It was like an Old Testament baptism, and they walked into the new land, and they walked with power and authority. You'll see it when they land in Jericho. All they have to do is start blowing trumpets and praising God, and supernaturally walls just start breaking and crumbling down. Do you realize that God is wanting to do that same thing today? Now, here's what I want to connect a dot here. So here's Moses. They go through kind of baptism, and then they go into the promised land, and they inherit it. The same geographic spot that Moses gave the speech of the book of Deuteronomy to the new generation of 2 million young Jewish men and women is the same geographic spot that John the Baptist came and started preaching about Jesus, about the Messiah, that there's coming a shakeup in the whole region and in the whole land. And he said, I'm telling you, there is coming now, and he's walking among you, and you don't know who he is, but the world will never be the same. He is shaking this earthly kingdom to its cores. He's turning things inside out, upside down. I'm not even worthy. Yeah, I'm a prophet. And Israel had not heard the voice of a prophet for 400 years. 400 years. Nobody, they heard about prophets a long time ago, but God didn't talk like that no more. All of a sudden, John the Baptist came. And he's not in Jerusalem. He's on the other side of the Jordan, right where Moses was, preaching. It's here. And he's walking among you, and everybody's looking, who is it? And finally, one day he points and he says, there he is. He pointed at a Jew in the midst of the people on the other side of the Jordan. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. And what did John do after he preached? You guys need a new mentality. He then said, now come with me to the waters of Jordan and get baptized. He baptized them in the Jordan, saying, you need a new way of thinking, because it's not religion anymore. It's not about tradition anymore. It's not outward ritual anymore. This is just as God prophesied, a new covenant that goes to the heart, and it's going to transform you with power from the kingdom of heaven from the inside out. So you get baptized and get ready for it. And there, the next thing you know, Jesus starts, every time he starts speaking, boom, heaven comes out of his mouth. This all happened with John the Baptist baptizing people on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. It happened at Bethany. Bethany is basically the same geographic place where Moses was. So I think it's good to have that and put that all together. Now, look with me in verse 9. In verse 9, Moses says, and I spoke to you at that time. So he's continuing to encourage them, saying, I alone am not able to hear you. The Lord your God has multiplied you. And here you are today as the stars of heaven in multitude. May the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are, and bless you as he has promised you. How can I alone bear your problems and your burdens and your complaints? Choose wise, understanding, knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have told us to do is good. And so I took the heads of your tribes, wise, knowledgeable men, and made them heads over you, leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And then I commanded your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your brothers and judge righteously between a man and his brother or the stranger, alien, refugee, whatever he may be, who is with him. In other words, be fair. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. Same justice for the little guy as for the big, important guy. You shall not be afraid in any man's presence, for the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, then you can bring it to me, and I will hear it, and I command you at all time all things which you should do. Moses is reminding them, do you remember back when we were stuck because you guys lined up every day, 2 million people with all your problems, and I was solving one by one by one, and we couldn't move. So it was crazy. And basically, the Lord led me to say, I need help. You're too many. And so what Moses is encouraging them is, do you guys remember? Look, he goes, this is faithful. The fact that there's 2.1 million of you, they're afraid, standing on the edge, say, we need Moses, we need Moses. God speaks to Moses face to face. He's going, you don't need me anymore. He goes, I got replaced already back in the wilderness. There are thousands of you that God has raised up now as leaders, all the way down to 10. There's a leader per 10. 2 million people, that's a lot of leaders. He goes, so God has given you the leadership. It's too much for one man. Now, in the beginning, he said, when we were down in Egypt with Joseph, there was only 70 of our family. The 12 brothers and, you know, wives and kids, and there were 70 of us. But now we're 2 million. So we need more than just one leader. And I, you know, it's an interesting thing, even for the church right now, and I hope I say this right, but somewhat in the past, we are drawn to strong personalities. We are drawn to men like Moses, that are powerful, authoritative, and so forth. And we are at a very interesting time in our history where a lot of the leaders are like Moses and Aaron, they're going to be with the Lord. This guy's gone, and that guy's gone, and that guy, and that guy. It was a whole generation of strong, passionate, visionary leaders, and they're going. And so everybody's looking around, who's next? Well, is it this guy? Is that guy? Well, he's got a pretty good following, and oh, that guy's pretty cool speaker, and wow, they got a cool church, and we're looking, but there's nobody that's really at the same level maybe as where they were, and I believe it may be by design. That God is saying, I'm not using personalities in the same way that I did before. Not that I'm not using them. It's not going to be a few. It's going to be multiplied to hundreds and thousands. And so it's not following a person or a personality. The only person we want to follow is Jesus. He is the personality. He's the only one that can handle all of that. So what Moses is saying is this, the Father encourages us, we are not alone. Moses was saying, no, I'm not going to be in there. I'm not going to be, your go-to guy, but you have thousands of leaders. Begin trusting in them, letting God raise them up. It's a new day. It's a new generation, and there are many new leaders that are now there and among you. So then go down to verse 19. He says, so we departed from Horeb, and we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God had commanded us. And then we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites. Okay, we're ready to go in to the promised land. So he's talking about 40 years earlier, the first generation, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go, possess it as the Lord your God of your fathers has spoken to you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, Moses is saying. That's what I said to you, your parents, 40 years ago. Verse 22, and every one of you came near for me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we should come. So the plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe. These are the 12 spies. So he sent in 12 spies, and they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands, and they brought it down to us, and they brought back word to us saying, it's a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, here's the grapes. They're huge. It's fruitful. Nevertheless, you would not go up. He's talking about the parents, that generation. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tents, and you said, because the Lord hates us, he's brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brothers have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim. They're giants, physical giants. We're like little grasshoppers that they step on as they walk through. So that's what happened 40 years earlier. So that's why, for fear, they did not enter in. And then listen to what Moses now says. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all of that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents and to show you the way you should go in the fire by night and the cloud by day. As Moses shares with them, he says, this is what I told your parents, but they didn't listen to me and they didn't believe me. But I'm saying the exact same thing to you kids. And I'm telling you this time, you will believe. You will walk and you will enter into the land. And what he is saying is, so I'm prophesying to you, you're going to cross the Jordan. You're going to get baptized with new thinking. You're going to go into the land. And I know that some of you are standing there afraid going, but the giants are still there. And so they're imagining in their mind the day when they look at the giants and are frozen and can't move and can't take another step. And Moses is saying to them, I know that when you get there, that you're going to be afraid and you won't be able to take a step. And I want to tell you that when the time comes that you are paralyzed in fear, God himself will pick you up and carry you through that time. So this is the last life lesson. Here, Moses is saying the Father's promise, the heart of God, is the heart of a father. When you cannot take another step, I will carry you. Okay? And this is how Moses lays it out. God will fight for you. As he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes, you'll see it. You go in, but he will fight, and in the desert. And there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. When you are afraid, when you're paralyzed, when you're anxious, and you go, I can't do it, Dad. He goes, like a father with his son, I'll carry you. And then the way, all the way you went until you reached this place. So I love this. And it brings us to the title of the message. And I want to close with this. There is a poem called Footprints in the Sand. How many of you are familiar with it? Okay. Many of you have seen this. It's on many plaques. It's been in every Christian bookstore since there were Christian bookstores. Coffee mugs, refrigerators. But there's probably many of you going, I never heard of it, never seen it. Well, now let me introduce it to you. There was a woman named Mary Stevenson who wrote a little devotional to herself, really, in 1939. And she had kind of a, vision, dream, kind of God speaking to her, and she wrote the poem of what she saw. And in the dream, she's given a vision of her life, and it's actually two sets of footprints and kind of stretching back over her life. And here's what she wrote. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life, and for each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before my eyes, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. Now, this really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. I said, Lord, you said, you promised once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. It was then that he whispered into my ear, my precious child, I love you and I will never leave you, never, ever, during your trials or testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, that is when I carried you. I carried you. So there was a time literally where there, like right now, 8 billion sets of footprints padding over the world. But there was a moment when we couldn't really move forward, and it was at that moment that literally Jesus, the Messiah, God, manifest in the flesh, lifted all 8 billion people, and on the cross for 6 hours, there was only one set of footprints. And he carried the burdens, the pain, the anguish, the suffering, the abuse, the wars, and all of the sin and evil, he carried it on his shoulders. And by the third day, he brought us on the other side into the land of promise. For all who would believe and trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So there may be some of you today that are saying, man, that's me. I am done. I'm undone. I can't move. I don't know where to go. I can't take another step. Great. All you have to do is surrender your emotions. The moment you stop, you know, wrestling with your own emotions, what am I going to do? And just say, Lord, help me. You will feel him bend down, and he will lift you up. You'll have the experience, literally, of being lifted up. And you know what a shepherd, where he puts the sheep that gets stuck in fear, anxiety, paralyzed, which sheep do, he literally takes that sheep and he drapes it on his shoulders. And he just carries it and walks with it until the little sheep gets comfortable and they get through the rough patch, and then he puts him back down.
Comforting thoughts from Pastor Ray Bentley as he launches this opening study in the book of Deuteronomy here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called Footprints in the Sand. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're so pleased to make available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I think many Christians read through the mentions of the Jewish feasts in the Bible in the same way they read those long lists of begats. You know, they just skim through them. Well, the feasts are a part of Jewish history and tradition that have little or nothing to do with New Testament Christianity, or so they say. But you say otherwise in this book, don't you?
Well, yes. This is something, it's not unique just to us, but it's something literally happening around the world. The church is starting to relook at the feasts of the Lord. And we've done a good job at looking at the feasts of the first coming from Passover to Pentecost. But now the church is awakening that there's three more feasts in the fall, from trumpets to tabernacles, that point to the return of Jesus Christ. And they're not called the feasts of the Jews, though they were originally. They're called the feasts of the Lord. Hmm. And so all seven, Dave, point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So these feasts are for us, and I think it's time to take a fresh look at their meaning and their purpose.
All right, and I know you do that in your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's even more to help us understand the times in which we live. The Holy Land Key is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.